Last week, I thought Rob gave one of the best lessons that one could apply to their life. And you know, really, that's what teaching and sharing in the gospel is. Not memorizing text, not looking at different things and trying to figure things out. What does it mean to me personally? And I had such a beautiful picture as he talked last week on the armor of God. And I want to review that with you, and then we'll get in today's lesson. To me, the most powerful thing that he said about the armor of God, and I'm going to ask you if you can remember, the Roman soldier that Paul was chained to, who put on his armor?
Another person.
Armor bearer. Who puts on our helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the belt? Who puts that on?
Jesus.
What a beautiful picture, people. If you had nothing else from last week. So this morning, my question is, did you get up? Did you try to put the armor on yourself? By saying, here's my tithe. I'm going to show up for church. I didn't buy anything from the grocery stores last night after sundown. And I'm ready. And I'm a pretty good person. That's putting on the armor yourself. Or did you get up and say, God, thank you for another day.
Amen.
And put that armor on. Let me walk in your spirit today. And it was beautiful how Rob went back to Isaiah. And the armor was put on Christ Himself. It was perfect. And we have the opportunity, because God loves us, to have that same armor.
Amen.
It was beautiful last week. I appreciate that. Yes, John.
I was very much impressed with that too. But Ernie, I'm just as impressed with the point you made the week before. With all this armor and stuff that we do, what is the battle that we're fighting? See, and I think much of the time we're trying to fight battles already been won. And that point was well taken.
Yes, it was.
2 weeks ago, the point, very simply, the war is over. There is no war. It's over. It's won. We're the ones that haven't figured that out.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely.
Something I was kind of thinking about, but what's the difference between a battle and a war?
Well,
I mean, and I asked.
I'll go to military history, which I kind of enjoy. There are times when you lose the battle to position yourself to win the war.
Amen.
Yes.
And if you're a military commander, you must understand winning every battle can lead to defeat. Because if you do not position yourself militarily, you might win short term, but it puts you in a position where you lose big time. The war is over. Victory is ours.
And please understand the reason why I asked that. I asked that because, using the same scenario, I do believe, I think sometimes we don't really understand that, yeah, war is won, but we have daily battles and daily things that we go through. We still have to,
And what is that battle? What is the battle? What battle do you face today?
Self.
Only one battle.
Self.
Who controls you? Your way or God's way? That is the battle.
Amen.
It isn't if you pay 10, 9, or 11% tithe. pork eaters on the face of the earth crucified the creator of the universe.
That's right.
The battle is, when you woke up this morning, what did you do? Alright, read the Bibles. Galatians 6, 18 and 19. While you're all doing that, I need 3 volunteers. I don't like track. 1, 2. I need a 3rd one. 3.
Galatians 6, what?
18 and 19. I'll take a 4th one. I don't like Charles, so I want another volunteer.
You have a verse to Galatians?
What's the last? Did I say Galatians? Oh, thank you for correcting me. Ephesians. What? Got 2 volunteers. I need a 3rd one. Charles is too good of a friend. John Perryman, number 3. So who did I have? I have Ron, Rodney,
Rodney.
John. Okay. Just hold on. It isn't your turn yet. All right. Somebody look up Ephesians 6, 18, 19. Read it. Tell me what version.
Pray.
Okay. Go to clear word. That's fine.
Finally, pray constantly as if your life depended on it. Keep alert to the needs of your brothers and sisters and pray for them too. Also pray for me that God will give me the right words to say when I stand before Caesar and that he will help me share the gospel fearlessly to all who are there, even if it leads to my conviction.
Okay, don't like that version. Next, who got a different version?
Modern King James.
Modern King James. Let's hear it.
Okay. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching to this very thing with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds.
Okay, that's good enough. Okay. All right, who has verse 19 in a different version? Forget 18. That's fine, that's your 19.
Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel.
Okay, I like that one. Who's got one more version? Verse 19 and 18.
Good news.
Pardon?
Living New Testament.
That's here. 19.
It says, pray for me too, and ask God to give me the right words as I boldly tell others about the Lord, and as I explain to them that His salvation is for the Gentiles too.
Okay, don't like that version. What do you have?
Good news.
All right, let's hear it.
And pray also for me that God will give me a message when I am ready to speak, so that I may speak boldly and make known the gospel secret.
Okay, gospel secret. 2 versions had the mystery of the gospel. Now, when I read that verse, mystery of the gospel, I said, you know, that's kind of an interesting phrase, so I'm going to go and see what the Quarterly says. And the Quarterly doesn't mention it. So, perhaps I thought I was on the right track. Mystery of the gospel. Paul uses this phrase 6 times in the book of Ephesians and 15 times in his writings. Mystery of the gospel. What I want to focus on this morning is very simply, what is the mystery of the gospel? Now, when I was doing my research on St. Paul, Minnesota, I researched an evangelistic series they did. Now, I know they don't do this in North Dakota, and I know they don't do it in Dayton, Ohio. But in this particular evangelistic series, the focus of the series was very simple. God loves you, but you better keep the Sabbath. God loves you, but you better understand that there is a church out here that is your enemy, and it wants to give you the mark of the beast. God loves you, but you better pay tithe. And God loves you, but you better not eat pork. You ever been to one of those meetings?
Yes.
Is the mystery of the gospel in that type of presentation?
No.
Thank you. And I've been to them where I listened very closely. 2300 day promise. And so at one time I thought, now is that the mystery of the gospel? The word mystery in Greek was a direct reference to the time that Paul was writing. And they understood this word because the word mystery reflected a close society that had special rights that only they today, our good friends the Mormons have special rights that are only theirs to know. One of the fun things I had when I was in Salt Lake City, I tried, how long, Sue, 2 or 3 hours? To try to get inside that Mormon temple. Didn't get it done. My dad, before he became an Adventist, was a 32nd degree Mason. I tried all my life to get him to teach me the secret Masonic handshake and fail.
Even after you converted.
Even after you converted. You see, secret. So when Paul used this word mystery, they knew exactly what he was talking about. I like Moffat's translation of this verse. He says it's the open mystery of God. So today we're going to talk about the mystery of the gospel. And what is that mystery? For you see, if Paul thought enough to use it 15 times, 6 times in this letter, and he prayed that God through His Spirit would give him the power that he could preach the mystery of the gospel, then I think that perhaps this might be the mystery that our Sabbath school class would like to solve and take to the world. Does that make sense? So, let's find out what is the mystery of God. Has anybody ever listened to Gardner Ted Armstrong? I used to throw papers when I was going to college. And so Gardner Ted came on 2 or 3 times in between 1 and 5 o'clock in the morning. And he's the only guy I know that effectively could take you from Genesis through Revelation in 30 minutes. If you ever heard him, you know exactly what I'm talking about. What I want to do is to start back at the beginning of time and reveal to the class and myself what the mystery of the gospel is. And hopefully, at the end of this class, in 25 minutes, we'll define message that we're to take to the world. Let's start back in heaven. Describe heaven before Lucifer became rebellious. Somebody describe that. What do you think heaven was like? Yes.
I believe heaven was in perfect unity. There was love, and that was God. God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and all of the universe was in harmony and love, and there was no sin.
Beautiful picture, isn't it? And then one day, the highest created being in the entire universe says, I don't think I'm being treated fair. I think that I should be equal to Christ. And then he went around and said, Leroy, have you ever thought that maybe we're not being treated as nice as we could be? Leroy said, they haven't given any thought. Well, let me tell you, why should this Christ person? And pretty soon, over a third of the angels started saying, you know, I don't really think we're being treated right. And the mystery of the gospel was as God looked at these erring angels, he showed them nothing but love, patience, kindness. But rebellion came. We're going to take our message to the universe. And so the angels left heaven and began a warfare. God cannot be trusted. The issue was never, should you pay tithe? Should you not eat pork? Should you keep the Sabbath? There was only one issue. Can God be trusted? And the war began. Satan lies. God can only tell the truth. That's his character. And I want you to get the next picture. It's one of the most beautiful I've ever seen in my imagination. Story of redemption. One day, Satan catches an angel and says, I would like to meet with Jesus. And he meets with Jesus and he says, I'm wrong. I would like to come back to heaven. But you see, his heart wasn't contrite. He was wrong because of the circumstances, not with his character. And Jesus looked at him, explained to him why he couldn't come back. And then the next picture is the mystery of the gospel. Because in the story of redemption, Jesus puts his arms around the adversary that was to bring such turmoil into this world. He puts his arm around him and he weeps. The mystery of the gospel was he put his arms around his greatest adversary and wept. Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned. Eve sins by being deceived. Adam sins open. He had a very simple decision. God or Eve. God comes along in the cool of the evening, just like he had done every single day of Adam and Eve's life. Here prophecies. Children of Israel, God's chosen people, they say to God, we don't want to talk to you. We want Moses to talk to you, then we want Moses to come down and explain to us whatever the heck you said to him. And then they went and insulted God by saying, we no longer even like that. We want a king. And what did God say? Okay. What else?
Then he told them what the king would do to them.
So warned them. Then what did he do? Missing a step.
Stayed with them.
Stayed with them. He says, I'll help you find the king. Do you get that picture? What an insult. God says, you really don't want a king. They're going to tax you. They're going to do all of these things. Finally they said, we want a king. And the mystery of the gospel is that God said, not only will I give you a king, I'll help you find a king. That's the mystery of the gospel. We go down to the time of Hosea. Children of Israel in total rebellion. And God looks at His children and says, how can I give you up? How can I let you go? How can I give you up? And He says it with tears in His voice. But you have decided, I have no choice. I must let you alone. The mystery of the gospel was He still loved them. Jesus comes to earth, born as a baby. He lives His life. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And on the night that he's supposed, the next day he's going to die, one of his last acts is he goes to a disciple named Judas. And he sits, kneels, and washes the traitor's feet. Appealing to Judas, don't do this. Don't do this. The mystery of the gospel is the creator of the universe kneeling before the person that is going to betray him and wash his feet. Centuries. Young Catholic priest saying, God, what in the world's going on here? And he reads a verse from the book of Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. And the mystery of the gospel was that this one Roman Catholic priest saw a different picture of God and changed the religious world by one sentence, the just shall live by faith. Now, who's my volunteers? Stand up. Do you understand, brother? The mystery of the gospel is no matter what you've done in your life, no matter who you are, that God loves you
Yes, sir.
For who you are.
Yes, sir.
And if you were the only human being in this universe, he would have sent your son, his son, to go to Calvary so that you would understand what sin was and could do. The mystery of the gospel, Rodney, is no matter who you are, God loves you with everything he has. And don't ever lose sight of that. Because that is the mystery.
Amen.
Love you, brother.
Love you. Who's my other one?
I guess I'm the next
speaker. Ron, do you understand the only mystery of the gospel is no matter what you've done or will do, that your Heavenly Father loves you, cares for you, and moved heaven and earth to demonstrate that to you. And the only message that you have in this universe is to take what God has done and show the love and the feelings He has for you and share that with your fellow man. For you have no other gospel. You have no other gospel than to say, what God has done for me, He can do for you. God loves you and has demonstrated that.
Amen.
John, I've known you a long time. You've been very, very instrumental in my life. But do you understand that being you, no matter what's happened, God loves us. And we cannot ever lose sight of
it. I thought it was 30 years ago that I understood it. But you know, every day I study, I'm more convinced that I really don't understand the depth of that.
That's right.
But, it's not words.
Real, John. It's not words. When you're up and you're down, God loves us.
Absolutely.
And we have no other means. Chosen to be against him
and then have a great panoramic view where you see the end from the beginning. You see Earth's history, and most important, for those that are wicked, have chosen to be in rebellion, they see where they fit into Earth's history and how God did everything He could to bring them to Him. And they reject it. They say that God is just, and then they get up, and what do they want to do? Take a holy city. God reveals His character, that becomes a consuming fire, and they pass into eternity. And then one day, as I was studying, looking at this, I come to conclusions why I thought it happened. I'm not going to share that to different. But then one day it hit me. And when this week I saw the mystery of the gospel, it brought that picture back. What do you think God is doing as His children pass into eternity, lost forever? And when I came across that picture in my mind many years ago, it changed my feelings towards God. What will He be doing? He'll be crying, 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 crying. Don't let Him cry over you. Don't be in that group. Don't be in that group. Take your father. Get to know Him better in 2006. He'll change your life.
Amen.
And remember, when troubles come, when problems arise, if He cares enough about the birds that fall from their nest, and He's willing to pick them up, what is He willing to do in your life?
Amen.
You see, I think that our good friends in St. Paul, Minnesota, missed the boat. The mystery of God is our message, that God loves. One of the songs that we sing is Little Children. You know, Rob has made a very beautiful point over the past few months. We take religion and we make it hard. Little children figured it out 4 or 5 years old. What's the most important thing?
Jesus loves me.
Let's stand up, like for all of us, join hands. Somebody that can sing other than me who cannot sing, lead out with a very simple, Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Jesus loves me.
Oh,
yes,
Jesus loves me.
simple statement, what a simple song. But it is the mystery of the gospel.